Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
There is a parable in Matthew 25 about utilizing the gifts or talents that the Lord has given to us for His interests. The faithful ones in this parable not only used them for the Lord, but even gained more talents for Him. While the unfaithful servant didn't lose what the Lord had given him, he just failed to use it to make a profit for the master. But what are these talents, and what is it to use them to gain profit for the Lord? The answers to these questions will likely surprise you today, and Francis Ball has joined us as we continue to see the reward of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 25. Welcome back, Brother Francis.
Thank you very much. I do believe we're in for a surprise on seeing what these talents are.
Well, before we get to that, I'd like to go back to our program yesterday. Also in chapter 25, at the beginning of chapter 25, a marvelous parable there, the parable of the 10 virgins. And Francis, this is a crucial parable related to our watchfulness and our preparation to meet the Lord. And it's one that I think it's probably fair to say is maybe most often ignored and almost as often misapplied, I think, to a lot of people when they get into a study of Matthew. So maybe it would be helpful if you take a minute and just review this very important parable for us.
This parable of the 10 virgins is really a marvelous point and very crucial to our understanding, because the 10 virgins really represent 10 believers, 10 Christians, because they all had oil in their lamps. But 5 of these virgins are wise, and they get oil in their vessel as well. And the 5 foolish ones do not pay that much attention to the oil. And of course, the oil here represents the Spirit as life to us. And as life, these 5 wise virgins were being filled with the Spirit and desiring to meet the Savior, meet the Lord as the bridegroom. So this whole thing is a matter of watchfulness. And if we have the life of the Lord in us and we're watching for His coming, we want to be wise to fill not only our spirit, which is the lamp, but also our vessel, which is the soul, and to be filled with the Spirit for being ready for His coming. When the announcement comes, the bridegroom comes.
Of course, Francis, to get the oil into the vessel of our soul is a process that is not instantaneous. We can receive the Lord in a moment, but this process of the oil being penetrated into the vessel of our soul is really one that is the day-by-day ongoing experience of the believers, or at least should be.
Yes, indeed. That is the day-by-day contacting the Lord so that He grows in us and occupies us, even transforms us to be the same as He is.
Well, as this parable touches the matter of watchfulness and has to do with our being inwardly prepared, today the second parable we're going to see is the parable dealing with our faithfulness in our outward service to Him. Basically, the story is about a man preparing to leave who calls his slaves and delivers his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to the third one he gave 1 talent. And later he returns to take back his possessions. And 2 of these slaves return the original amount together with an increase. And to these 2 he gave a significant reward. But the 3rd one was punished for being unprofitable. And this one had not lost what the Lord gave him. He just failed to use it to gain additional profit for the Lord. I think, again, another sobering and surprising interpretation, one that will be very enlightening for all of our listeners, I think, today as we join Witness Lee for this first portion. Let's do that now.
The parable of the virgins is for the watchfulness, and this parable of the talents is for the faithfulness. These are the 2-fold aspects of a proper believer. On the one hand, we all are virgins. On the other hand, we all are slaves. In watchfulness, in life, we are virgins. concerning what we are. Then in faithfulness in the service, we all are slaves concerning what we do, what we work. Don't just realize you are virgins. You have to realize also that you are slaves. To the virgins, the Lord is the bridegroom. And to the slaves, he is the Lord, the master. Not only we have a dual status, but also he has a twofold status. On the one hand, he is our pleasant bridegroom. And on the other hand, he's our very strict, hard master. With the virgins, what is needed is something within, the oil in the vessel. Not the outward doing, but inward feeling. But with the slaves, it is not something inward, but something outward. Inwardly, we need infilling. Outwardly, we need the talent, the gift. And the outward aspect is to be diligent. And here, a word is used. After the five talented, one received the five talents immediately. He went to treat and gained another five talents immediately, diligently. He used the talents. This is the outward thing. It doesn't mean we don't need our activities. We need both. We need the inward renewing, and we need the outward service. We need the inward growth. We also need the outward actions. We need both. I hope that all these principles will be deeply impressed not only into our understanding, but even into our whole being.
Francis, I think it'd be good to come back to this point for a bit more fellowship and development. And that is that the parable of the virgins touches what we are inwardly, while this parable, the one of the talents, has everything to do with what we do outwardly. Typically in our life studies, we make much of the inward reality and we don't spend a lot of time on the outward things, but this parable draws our attention to the fact that both of these aspects are very important as we consider our readiness for the Lord, aren't they?
Yes, they both are very, very, very much involved in our preparation for the Lord's coming and for us being at the judgment seat of Christ. Inwardly, which is what is pointed out by the parable on the virgins, showing that we need life and we need a fullness of this life. We have the oil representing the Holy Spirit here, and when he comes into us, we get God's life, but we need the fullness of this life in order to be ready to meet the Lord. And the same thing applies with the matter of the talents that you mentioned, that these talents which were given concerning our outward activities. Many Christians are concerned, you know, well, I'm saved, I've been born again, and so everything is all right, there's no need of anything more further. This is really a wrong and too shallow a concept. We need to realize not only the inward life, but also the outward doing. Life concerns what we are, and the responsibility we have regarding the talents is what we do. So there is a work that's to be accomplished by the Lord through us, and there is a life to be developed in us by the Lord. So both of these have very much to do with our being ready for the Lord's coming. When we meet the Lord, we're going to have to see how much oil we have, and also what have our activities been? What has our work been? There is a work the Lord wants to accomplish, as well as a life that he puts into us.
Francis, I feel almost every day as we're touching these things now in chapters 24 and 25 particularly in these parables, We do need to point out, because many of our listeners are not able to follow along every day, so they have missed the backdrop. And really, to understand this portion in Matthew, it's critical that we realize what will be, how we will be examined by the Lord at His coming as His believers, as His redeemed ones, will not be as to affect our eternal destiny with Him. Our salvation is absolutely secure, but the reward or loss of reward related to our seeing Him at the judgment seat of Christ has everything to do with what we will experience in the coming kingdom period.
Yes, that's really a big help for you to point this out, because we have a misconception many times that our salvation is a settled matter as though there's no problem. There is no problem regarding our eternal security. Our eternal salvation is a settled matter by our receiving Christ as our Savior and our Lord. But the reward, or the readiness to meet the Lord at His judgment seat, depends on the filling of His life within us, our whole being, and also in the activities or the talents or the usefulness we make of our faithfulness to the Lord in work.
Well, as we go on now, Witness Lee is going to touch this parable verse by verse. I think this will be very helpful for all of our listeners. So let's go back to that.
It is as a man who, going into another country, we all know, the other country, on the other side, in the heavens, called his own slaves, not servants, not hired ones, but bought ones, purchased ones, and delivered to them his possessions. Here, his possessions means these few things: the gospel, the truth, the believers, and the church. You see, today, the possessions of the Lord on this earth are mainly these few things: the church, the believers with the truths, and the gospel. These are his possessions. The very talents in verse 15 are the very possessions in verse 14. You have to know the gospel preaching is the Lord's possession. When it is given to us, it is our talent. The truth is the Lord's possession. When the truth is given to me, it becomes a talent. The more the Lord gives you his possessions, the more talent you have, the more burden the Lord gives you, the more talent you have. Many Christians know that in this parable, the talents are the gifts, but they don't know what is the source of the gifts. The source of the gifts is the Lord's possession. And the Lord's possession today, I would say, are mostly the gospel, the truth, and the believers, and the church. I tell you, if you don't care for the church, you don't care for the believers, you don't care for the truth, you don't care for the gospel, you have no talent. If you have the mercy on you, you must seek diligently the gospel. I like to know the gospel. I like to know what is regeneration. I like to know what is the fall of man. I like to know what is redemption. I like to know what is salvation. I like to know what is forgiveness. I like to know what is the washing of the blood. I like to know all these aspects concerning the full gospel. The more you receive of the gospel, the more talent you have. You must say, Lord, help me to learn the truth, not only by my knowing, but also by my experiencing. I like to experience the truths of you, the truths concerning the church, the truths concerning God's eternal purpose, concerning God's economy. Eventually, these truths become what? Your talent. Then you can minister. Then you can pass on some of the truths to others. And you have to pray, Lord, I sure like to take care of the saints. Brothers and sisters, if you are going to receive more talents, you must have a heart caring for the saints. Caring for the saints. Their burden must be your burden.
Well, Francis, as was pointed out here, most believers know that the talents in this parable refer to the gifts that we have from the Lord. But I think the kind of gifts being referred to is probably not that clearly understood. How do these talents relate to the possessions here that we heard enumerated, the truth, the gospel, the believers, and the church, Francis, and not just our natural ability and natural talents?
Yeah, I think this is a big misunderstanding in the past, that we think that talents are our natural ability. I have a talent to sing, I have a talent to speak, or something like this. But these talents, the source of these talents that are mentioned in this parable are God's possessions, as Brother Lee pointed out. What God has that he wants to give to us are these particular matters that really can be summed up. That is the gospel, the truth, the believers, and the church. These are the possessions of God that he gives to his people. When they're with him, they're his possessions. When they're given to us, they're our talents. Now, what we do with that is what makes the difference how we will be rewarded in the coming kingdom. For example, you have these talents given that the Lord gives to his faithful ones. Some he gives five, some two, and some one, which we'll probably get into. But this really is important to see that this matter of talents is not something natural, but it's something of God's possession given to us for our development and for our multiplication. So when I see this, I realize that I want to give myself to really know this gospel, to take this gospel and to cause it to be my talent and to develop it. For example, if I want to know this, as he pointed out, we need to be eager to know the very facts of the gospel, the full gospel. We need to know about the fall of man, about how God redeemed us, how he regenerates us, what is salvation, and what is the cleansing of the blood, and all these matters that he pointed out. We need to receive all of this as our talents for us to use. And the more we use them, the more they are developed and the more they're increased. So, Lord, I'd like also to be able to take care of the saints, have a burden for people, for the saints among God's people, to really have a care for them. This becomes a talent. And if I really exercise to take care of this way, we'll have more heart for the saints. We'll have more care given to the saints. The same goes for the truth, knowing the truth, knowing God's economy, knowing the full revelation of the high peak of the divine revelation. We all need this sort of desire. And by this desire, we really are using the talents that the Lord's given us. And also, we apply this same thing to the church. If we have a real heart for the church, for the care of God's dwelling place on the earth, this becomes our talent. Then we can build it up and add to this talent and have a multiplication of the talents to present to the Lord.
Of course, we're not saying that the Lord may not want to use a natural ability that we might have in his wisdom and his sovereignty and the way he created us, but the real talents that we can put to use to gain profit for him are these very specific things that we just heard, the truth, the gospel, taking care of the believers, caring for the church. These things are really the important possessions. These are what are on his heart and that he has conveyed to us. There's another parable, Francis, in chapter 24 we saw a couple of days ago, I think quite related to this one. It's going to be mentioned in this next section, so let's go back and review it. In Matthew 24, verse 45, it says, "Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." The very, very thing I think we're talking about. As to how to use these talents to gain profit for the Lord, referred to in this parable as well. So let's go back to Witness Lee for this last section.
Now, we all must see the two aspects of the result of our service. One aspect of the result of our service is to have so many others fed. Oh, it's the rich nourishment on the one hand. Then on the other hand, the issue of our service must be the multiplication of the Lord's possession. Even the gospel, the more you preach, the more the gospel becomes richer. Even the truth, the more you minister, the more the truths multiply. The believers, the truth, and the churches all will multiply. 5 talents multiplied into 10 talents. 2 talents multiplied into 4 talents. And 1 talent buried there remain 1 talent. This is quite serious. It's quite serious. Our service must issue in others' feeding, in others' satisfaction. And at the same time, our service must issue in duplication, in multiplication.
Well, Francis, as we saw earlier, the Lord Jesus as the loving bridegroom is the sweetest and most attractive person. But here, he's a very hard master, expecting us not just to hang on what he's given to us, but to rather multiply it and return it to him with profit. And therefore, we would be ready and worthy for a reward. What does this concept of multiplication imply in our service?
Well, as Brother Lee pointed out here, these two aspects are very, very important. And by using these possessions that have been given to us, which become our talents to practice, then these become multiplied. They become more rich. They become more effective, and they first of all feed others with rich nourishment, and also the possession itself gets multiplied. So we've seen two aspects of the relationship we have with the Lord in these two parables, which are very, very meaningful and give us a good balance of our relationship with the Lord. He's a loving, attractive, enjoyable, sweet bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also what one of his disciples called a hard master.
Right.
And that's the one with the 1 talent. He considered him a hard master. And the Lord didn't deny that. He is a hard master. He does make demands upon us and expects some results from us. But these are two aspects of our relationship with the Lord that we need to be clear about. And in order to really satisfy the Lord and meet his need, we need to multiply these talents that he's given us, which we could review again are the gospel mainly, that we just preach the full gospel and we enrich it by our preaching it. And then the truth, all the truths concerning his economy and concerning what he's doing. And then, of course, all the believers become our talents. If we really care for the saints, all these saints become our talents and they multiply. And then the churches. For us to have a church as a talent means that we have some responsibility with the church. So if we have that and we take it and multiply it, then we are really meeting the Lord's demand as our master. So on one hand, we're the virgins. On the other hand, we're the slaves. We need to have both experiences to be ready to meet the Lord.
I wish we had more time, Francis. This is a big topic, I think one that is of great interest and great importance to all of God's people. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.